This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin, we're answering your questions. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. You can send questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. And let's get started on that fascinating question.
Yeah, we've got an email from Mike. Mike says, I've been on a low-carb diet for about a year now. Today, after eating a meal with potato and egg, I experienced severe vertigo with severe sweating. Lasted 10 minutes. Breathing quelled the episode. What happened? Your thoughts? Well, wow, a lot of things could happen.
Yeah.
A lot of things could happen. Were you, you know, did you jump out of an airplane while you were,
No.
Potato and egg. Okay, so Mike has been on a low-carb diet for a year.
Right.
My first question.
Not just low carb.
Yeah.
I think he's been on a ketogenic diet. No.
Maybe. He says low carb diet.
Okay, low carb.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, Mike, how often do you have a potato with your egg in the morning? Maybe you were responding to that bit of a carbohydrate load that maybe you ordinarily wouldn't have, especially at that time of day. I think earlier in the day is worse for a lot of people. But vertigo with severe sweating.
Right.
All right, let's rule out an anxiety attack.
Well, that is possible, but let's look at the physiology of what happens when you eat a carbohydrate. And we see this when we do glucose tolerance tests.
That's right, yeah.
What'll happen is, first you eat the food, and then the sugar from the food is absorbed. Even if it's a starch or a complex carbohydrate, there's sugar in the form of glucose that is absorbed. So how does the body respond to the glucose? The body releases insulin. What does insulin do? The insulin helps to take that high blood sugar, because there's now a lot of sugar in your bloodstream, and it drives it down.
Yep.
But what stops that from driving it down to the point where you have not enough glucose to power your metabolism? Well, the body has a counter-regulatory reaction where it releases adrenaline.
Yeah.
And what does adrenaline cause? Well, you know, there's some people very sensitive to adrenaline. They go to the dentist and they get lidocaine, but it has adrenaline in it, or epinephrine.
Huh.
And what that does, it causes them to feel anxious, lightheaded, and break into a sweat.
So, I just heard that from a patient the other day at the dentist where they had to stop everything.
It's a fairly common thing. Some people really have that, whatever, the gene which makes them more sensitive to their own adrenaline. They're highly sensitive people. So maybe that's what's going on with this guy. And, you know, the suggestion is soldier on, you know, gradually introduce carbohydrates if you want, but don't go from a very low-carb diet to all of a sudden lots of carbohydrates.
Right.
A potato should be fairly benign, but maybe this guy's very sensitive.
White potato is right up there with white bread.
Glycemic index. Okay.
Yeah, glycemic index, even higher than a spoon of sugar.
So here's what I do, is to avoid that. He didn't have enough fat in that diet. He should just put a big dollop of ghee or butter into that potato.
Right.
And then you're getting, it will slow the transit, slow the release.
One of the worst things you could do is eat a potato with nothing on it.
Right.
So putting that dollop of ghee or butter and sour cream too, if it's a baked potato and you're having some dairy.
If you're not sensitive to dairy.
Exactly. But it could be that Mike either A, didn't have enough eggs, or B, was just so sensitive that having the potato, you know, the egg was not enough to temper the absorption of the sugar in the potato for that to occur.
Or he could be developing a potato phobia.
I'm
not sure.
Mike, I would encourage you to not have such a big glycemic load of carbohydrate in the morning, such as a potato. You know, whether you didn't tell us what form that potato was in. Was it hash browns? Was it home fries? Was it French fries? What was that? So that also plays a role here, but
it's
I tell our patients a lot, those with blood sugar issues, yep. that first meal of the day, the breaking the fast, the breakfast.
Sets the stage for the whole day.
Yes, yep. Yes. It could set up as much as 50% of your blood sugar for the entire day. Yep. So make that first meal perfect.
The way I try to help people visualize that is I say, you know, it's a little bit like when you throw a boulder into a small pond. Oof. Or maybe if you do like a belly flop, you know, in a pool,
yeah,
and it sets up waves, and the waves take a while to dissipate through the day. Mm-hmm. Your blood sugar is going to reverberate,
yeah,
for a while,
right?
You know?
Right.
And so it may take a day for you to normalize,
to recover from that.
It's so important to have a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, Mike, that is likely what happened. Yeah. Okay. We've got an email from Richard. Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I'm a 65-year-old male with an athletic pulse rate between 48 and 60. In the past several years, I've also experienced premature atrial contractions. An echocardiogram says my ejection fraction is 65. Right now I get Right now I get an extra systole in approximately 1 in 4 beats. There are no real symptoms.
There's a name for it. It's called quadrigemini, which means, it's a slightly irregular rhythm, but it's very consistent. So it's less alarming. The doctor probably said, you know, don't have to do anything about it after maybe doing some tests, doing an echocardiogram to make sure everything was okay. This is not uncommon in people who are athletic and have a slowed heart rate, because when you get below a certain heart rate, you have a pacemaker, which in the heart, well, I mean, it's not an artificial pacemaker, it's your natural pacemaker. The natural pacemaker wants to circulate blood, and if your heart is going too slow, it's going to jump ahead with an extra beat to supply an extra, pulse of blood so that you don't get lightheaded.
Richard says, my primary care physician says there's no concern until I experience an atrial flutter, at which time an ablation may be prescribed. My brother...
That's so reassuring, isn't it?
Oh, my. I mean, you're doing the right thing. You're being athletic. You're taking good care of yourself. And you're told you may be having to have this procedure. But Richard also says, my brother has had an extra systole for many years.
And you could happily go to your grave at 95, you know, maintaining that status. It's just, I mean, the shared information with the patient should be limited to, it's okay.
Yeah.
If it gets worse,
you don't have
we'll
AFib right now.
Yeah, right. You know, and keep an eye on it, and, you know, if it gets worse, we can, address it.
Wow. Okay. Richard, well, in the meantime, do you think he might be helped by things like magnesium and CoQ10 and fish oil?
And fish oil, absolutely.
And, you know, all of that along with a really good diet, Richard, which I imagine if you're athletic, you're kind of on the ball with that.
The type of magnesium that I like now for loading people with magnesium, I really find it's quite nice, is something called reactive magnesium from Orthomolecular. I'm taking it myself because I'm a little prone to muscle spasms and cramps. When I exercise, it actually usually occurs not during exercise, but sometimes after exercise, like I'll feel like a little crick in my neck or in my scapula. Mm. And with the added magnesium I'm taking, you end up being able to take more magnesium as a powder than with a lot of pills. Mm-hmm. I take enough pills, so I'm taking a little powder. It's pleasant tasting, and it gives you a lot of magnesium.
That's
and it
good.
Doesn't cause diarrhea.
Which That's
is
great.
Fantastic, because...
Which is often a problem with so many different magnesiums.
Too much magnesium citrate, you're going to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Or even the cheap form of magnesium a lot of people take, magnesium oxide. That's pretty good laxative.
It's the least bioavailable. That's why.
Yeah,
it just draws water to the colon and out it goes.
Yeah.
Right. So, Richard, best of luck to you. Eat a good diet, too. Wow. All right. We have an email from Helene. How does Armour thyroid compare with Synthroid in their effects on bone mineral density in postmenopausal women?
Well, I would say that while Armour thyroid is better makes people feel better. Mm-hmm. There's a certain percentage of people who don't attain wellness, maybe at least one third.
Yeah.
And according to a recent study that was verified, on Synthroid, appropriately dosed. So they just, the doctor says, well, your tests are normal and something else might be bothering you. Mm-hmm. Natural thyroid is often makes people feel better. However, there's a tendency for natural thyroid to release too much T3. Mm-hmm. Because T3 is short acting, and for transiently, for an hour or two, you could have too much T3, which is less the case with Synthroid, which time releases T3. And that's an argument for using Synthroid that endocrinologists use.
But Synthroid doesn't have T3.
It doesn't have T3.
It's just T4, yeah, which is supposed to then convert.
T4 that gets converted, so okay. There's a step that the body does that makes that conversion.
Okay.
The T3, given an overabundance for a long period of time, can promote osteoporosis. I do have, I had a patient recently who came to see me who was shocked to find she had osteoporosis.
At 50-something years old.
Yeah. And
she was about 56 or something.
So I said, well, what medications are you on? She said, well, I'm on this, thyroid medication. I looked at it and I said, oh my God, you're on so much thyroid medication. Well, she went to a holistic doctor, and the holistic doctor, said, start taking it, even though the test didn't really show that she needed much. Hmm. But, when she said she wasn't feeling any better, instead of backing off and saying, maybe it's not your thyroid, he just going up, 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 up. And for several years, she was taking an inappropriately high dose of thyroid. I think she was, twice normal.
Wow.
We let patients run a little high within the normal range, but we don't let them go sky high. And I said, I'm pretty sure that, there's no other reason I can think of that you have such advanced osteoporosis at a young age. And she said, oh, my goodness, I shouldn't have listened to that doctor. And he was, crackpot.
And, she also complained of anxiety. And I wonder if her anxiety was about her bone health or was it because of all that thyroid?
Oh, yeah. It's almost like drinking too much coffee. But some people get a little addicted to feeling that way because it's like taking
speed.
They get
ripped.
Yeah. They like that, they're adapted to an unnatural state mm-hmm. because the alternative is to feel maybe tired or depressed. So they overuse the thyroid to alleviate that.
Hmm.
And that can cause osteoporosis.
Right. So the difference of... Now, I know generally you prefer Armour Thyroid in a lot of cases to...
I think women with osteoporosis can take Armour Thyroid. Yeah. It just has to be carefully monitored and,
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All of that. And I think you prefer that a test every 6 months is appropriate.
Yeah.
Doing a thyroid panel.
But
don't a lot of endocrinologists, I'm not even sure that they follow that, maybe once a year or something. And quite honestly, Dr. Hoffman, if I had a thyroid issue, you would be my doctor. Because I just keep seeing over, and kudos to you for this, I keep seeing over and over patients coming to us with their endocrinologist reports that have not been interpreted as well or with enough scrutiny and not paying attention to the patient's symptoms.
It's more looking at the test versus looking at the quality of life of the patient.
Right.
And then the tests that they use are a little limited, I would say.
So...
controversial thing that I've done since almost the beginning of my career in the 80s is to prescribe natural thyroid, which was frowned upon. I think that viewpoint has been vindicated.
Terrific.
As they come to as the sirens come to take me away.
They're coming to take you away.
Right.
Okay. All right. Helene, it's important to have your thyroid function test monitored and to have somebody very knowledgeable dispensing thyroid replacement for you. Okay. Oh, we've got a question from Karen. There was actually an article from the BBC that I was not able to access because that page had expired, but we could talk a lot about this product. Brown toast and potatoes are potential cancer risk.
Right.
Say food scientists.
It's the acrylamide story.
Yes, it's the acrylamide story.
Yep.
And acrylamide is a byproduct of this Maillard browning, this non-enzymatic browning, This acrylamide is known as a carcinogen.
It gives things a nice toasty taste.
Yes, yeah. It gives the toast, it gives the brown to your toast and browns your potatoes nicely. Kind of sear to your Danish.
And I'm the kind of person that, you know, until I went on a paleo diet, you know, mm-hmm. people would like burn the toast and they'd get ready to throw it. Say, no, just scrape it off and I'll eat it, you know.
Right.
Because it's nice and crunchy and toasty. And
exactly.
But it. Okay, so...
So those people who love well-done French fries as opposed to...
Yeah, my take on this mm-hmm. is that it's one of those stories that reminds me a little bit of the radon scare of I guess it was the 70s or something, when everybody was concerned about radon. Now, all of a sudden, you don't hear anything about radon. So they said...
It's in the soil. It's in the earth.
Yeah, but they said that radon was causing, like, you know, half of the lung cancer cases, blah, 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 you know, like some phenomenal statistic. And then they kind of said, no, it's not really that bad. And, you know, it's few people have that. And, you know, there were radon testing kits. It was quite in vogue. And now it's like, bah, it's like forgotten. So I think that acrylamide is you know, we should be cognizant of that. But I don't think it's the peril that it is now.
Right.
I mean, it's just like one factor in that whole tapestry of what we eat and do in our lives.
That's true. There are smaller amounts of acrylamide in coffee, unfortunately.
Oh my goodness.
It could be the roasting of the beans or something.
Yeah,
it could be something like that. Yeah. But it's more in carbohydrate foods. You're not going to find acrylamide on your grilled protein. That's something else entirely.
That's actually
those are
PAHs, you know, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons.
Right.
And by the way, you know, we attenuate that by using spices and by using green tea and by eating fresh fruits and vegetables that have detoxifying effects.
Exactly.
You know,
because you want to be able to slow down the free radical damage associated with something like acrylamide. So making sure you're getting your antioxidants and things, very important. Coming back to radon for a minute, I read somewhere, it had to be over a couple of years ago, and if you have, I'm not trying to spread a rumor, the granite in your kitchen, if you're a fan of granite countertops.
Rip it out.
This may be another source of radon.
Rip
because
it out.
It's coming, that granite is coming from the earth,
uh-huh,
right?
Right.
What are we going to do?
Right.
Switch to something else.
Well, I suggest that everybody who's got a granite countertop buy a Geiger counter.
Ah.
And, you know, see if it goes, you know, when they hold it to the granite countertop.
Right.
And it's like, oh my God, that, you know, $12,000 granite countertop, you know, with the Brazilian, you know, marble.
Uh-huh.
No.
Oh my. Yeah. So lowering your consumption of carbohydrate foods like brown toast and potatoes are
I put away
really
the toaster
the
when I went on the pill. One
That's
of the first
it.
Gestures I did, I put away,
away.
I haven't, you know, it's gone.
Yeah.
But more to
the
force
answer
me
is
to make choices that my carbohydrates weren't going to be sort of poor quality carbohydrates.
Yeah.
Even the gluten-free toast is highly caloric and induces you to eat more than you want because it's so scrumptious with butter on it.
Yeah.
Or peanut butter, and, you know, you just stuff your face with that, and instead, I'll have, you know, a sweet potato or something like that.
Right. Or the other thing is, instead of browning your potatoes or something, one of my favorite dishes growing up in my house was boiled potatoes tossed in butter.
Oh, yeah.
And parsley.
That's a good...
It's just...
But that's, we're coming back to a whole
that, there's
food.
No browning.
It's a whole food.
And it's a different method of cooking.
Right.
That's really the other thing. You want to think maybe more soups, stews, boiling, rather than always roasting, grilling, frying, all of that kind of stuff, to reduce exposure to acrylamide
well. It, you know, for some people who tolerate a certain amount of carbohydrates, it's fine to eat some potatoes, but don't eat them all as French fries. Because, you know, have some, you know, traditional boiled potatoes or make a nice potato salad with avocado mayonnaise or something like that, and you know, put some scallions and some radishes in there and chop some walnuts in there and, you know,
Lovely.
Get some variety going.
Right. Absolutely.
We have time for a quick question. Is there such a thing?
A quick question? Now I've got a big, long question about leukemia.
I think that's a little
next
much
year.
Today.
Next year. Next week. Can you tell I'm looking forward to spring, Dr. Robin?
Yes, So we don't really have a quick question.
No, not, let me see here. Oh, here's a quick one.
A one-liner.
Michelle writes, "Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, love your show. I'm a longtime listener." More than a one-liner. "My question is about my 23-year-old son. His blood work showed his vitamin D was low. It was in the 30s. And his doctor told him to take 2,000 a day."
That's not terrible.
Yeah.
30s
is not bad. We like it over 40.
Yeah.
"And his doctor told him to take 2,000 a day." Mm-hmm. Kudos to the doctor.
Yeah.
"Does he also need to take vitamin K? Or is it all right to take D by itself?"
There's some thought that K is a nice accoutrement to vitamin D, because if you take too much D in the absence of K, it might enhance the absorption of calcium, which can go to the wrong places.
Right. And the vitamin K is going to make sure it stays out of the arteries.
To the bone.
Yeah.
And stay away from the arteries.
Right.
So that's a common, now a lot of people are making DK supplements, which kind of makes sense, especially vitamin K2.
That's what you want.
Because
K2.
The product we use is something called MK7, which is a subtype of K2.
Yes.
That is specific to cardioprotection and also offers some protection against osteoporosis.
Right.
So there you go.
And the other K is actually K1, which we're getting more from our leafy greens and things, but that's more to promote homeostasis. It's almost like wallpaper to the K2.
Yeah. And the major dietary source of K2 is something called natto. Mm-hmm. Japanese fermented food that Americans don't like very much.
Right.
Because it's sort of it's like a cheesy taste of soy. Gooey and cheesy.
It's also in cheese and in meat.
It is cheese. Yeah, that's why there's the Dutch paradox, where the studies in the Netherlands show they eat a lot of cheese, hard cheese, aged cheese, and that contains a lot of vitamin K, and it seems to protect them from the effects of the saturated fat in the cheese.
Yeah.
Which probably isn't bad anyway.
Right.
According to new research. Okay, that's all the time that we have for today's broadcast. We thank you so much for joining us. We invite you to do your supplement shopping at the Hoffman Center store. Go to drhoffman.com, click on the store, and meet at least some of your supplement needs there, because we stock the highest quality supplements there at reasonable prices. We have a price match guarantee if you can find it elsewhere for cheaper. And you'll thereby also assure that you will get a continued stream of information through this podcast if you find it valuable. Thanks, Layla, for joining us.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.